Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Hi, my name is Christopher Collins. I'm the director of the Convocation Program at Pepperdine University. And today in chapel, we had Immaculée Ilibagiza, author of the book Left to Tell, Discovering God Amidst the Rwandan Holocaust, as our guest speaker. And she has done a lot of things since coming to the United States, including working for the United Nations in New York City. And she's established the Left to Tell Charitable Fund, which helps support Rwandan orphans. So we have the opportunity to ask Immaculée a few questions today for our listeners and also to find out more about what she'll be doing in the future. So Immaculée, could you just tell us a little bit about your first book, Left to Tell, and then also your newest book, which just came out?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I wrote my first book, Left to Tell, because I wanted to share with people the experience I've gone through. It really came through from friends who used to encourage me after I talked to them about what happened to Rwanda, especially friends who were going through a hard time. They would always end up being happy and finding this light, and they would be so happy, and they would encourage me to write about that. So I wrote about everything I have gone through during the genocide. I wrote about my childhood, how I grew up. And that was inspired especially by my children, whom I thought would never know the side of their mom, the values their grandparents cherished. So I spoke about that. I spoke about the faith we cherished in my home. And then I spoke about the experience I went through during the genocide, hiding in the bathroom for 3 months with other 7 women, and how hard it was, what was going through my mind. And I described a lot about how I found forgiveness coming from a place of anger. I used to be very angry. I mean, by the time I couldn't even remember how to smile again, because of sitting there and not knowing what is going on outside, not even really understanding the reason why you have to sit there. You know, you are born, and you don't choose where you are born, you don't choose who you are, and somebody wants to kill you for that, and another human being like you. It was very hard to take. But the lessons I have learned, especially forgiveness, I fought with God in the bathroom. I'm not fighting, but asking him, what about this? What do you mean here? Read the Bible, pray the rosary. But 3 months ended when in the bathroom, I thought that I learned so much that I will not change with anything in my life. So I wanted to share that with my people when I wrote the book. And it came out, it became New York Times bestseller for the past 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks. It was definitely something, again, I never thought it can ever happen. I was writing for 2 people, 10 people maybe who will read it. So to see like the whole world, it is translated now almost in 20 languages around the world. So to see that is having a huge blessing and really a reminder that after all, we are all one in the world and we all understand each other from the heart. You know, people cry for this listening, just seeing how a child from Rwanda, deep in Africa, grew up. And these people from Japan cry, people from China, people from America, from Iceland. So it's just definitely humbled me and made me realize how so much we are one. In my second book, Led by Faith, Rising from the Ashes of the Rwandan Genocide, it was inspired by people who used to ask me what happened after reading my first book. So I wrote it really trying to tell people how the whole country got back together, how in my life came back together, having children, the pain of not having my mother around, my brothers, the dreams I had with them, and it is really a journey of healing. And again, I rewrote it not just for me to have those memories, but to kind of tell other people, when you hit the bottom, when you get this deep, just remember you are not alone. Because I felt that the country now, Rwanda, they call it maybe the most peaceful country in Africa today, after being destroyed. A million people died in a period of 3 months. So for me to see that, I just wanted to tell people the steps I've seen since from 10 years, what have been going on. I just shared how I I published my first book, meeting somebody 3 days after I've just finished writing. And I made a lot of discouragement from people, from friends. When you tell people that you want to write, they just feel like, who do you know? You know, you're not a writer. Look at my English. It's not even good to this day. And yet I was writing in English. So people were always asking me, what are you going to write in? Which language? And you're not a writer. You work at the United Nations. And who is going to invest in a lady from Africa, from so far in Rwanda? Who would even want to care about what you went through? And something just told me, you know, faith is above all. God is above all. And God is almighty. Mm-hmm. And God loves each person individually from wherever they are. He's the one who created them, who put them in Africa, who put them in Asia, Australia, in America. So he's the master of everything. And I truly believe that once you focus, you hold on to what you want to happen, you don't let pain discourage you, anything is possible. And through any pain, anyone can go through. If I can hold on from what I have seen, if I can be here today, I will tell anyone, hold on to hope. Mm. There is thousands of possibilities that you can get out of whatever situation you are in. Mm. Don't lose hope and don't give up. And in every situation we go through, especially the hardship, there's always a hidden lesson, golden lesson you can learn from that. Like no one else knows until they go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the genocide in Rwanda occurred in 1994, and over 1 million people were killed in this ethnic conflict, a tribal conflict between the Tutsis and the Hutus. And then in your book and in front of audiences around the country and around the world, you're talking about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And this comes across as both very inspiring but also really challenging and to some even shocking. Mm-hmm. You're talking about an entire tribe of people being killed during this time in 1994 in the country. How can forgiveness be a part of your message, and why is that important for your story?
Thank you again for asking that question. You know, forgiveness, it wasn't anything like I thought can be possible when I went through this genocide. And I think that's why I talk about it, because it came to me also like shocking, surprising, that it can be even a possibility. But I also talk about it because I went through every stage anyone who is going through and forgiveness can go through. I went a moment of rage. I constructed the whole plan of like hurting, killing people who were killing us. I thought about never speaking to them and never even, just like I saw them as evil. And you know, you can think of all the things possible. That's what I was. And I remember a time when I just felt that almost I can't step up anymore. I can't live anymore. Not because of what was going on, but because of the hatred that was in my heart. I forgot how to smile, how to be happy again. I wished I was innocent again in a place where I can see good in people, because everything was bad by that time. Then the steps of praying, just making a decision to pray really also, just to kind of hide my thoughts. My mind was more that they're going to kill you, the fear, the anger. And when I started to pray, I felt like it was like a step away from hell, coming back to a place where I can breathe. Then as you pray, as you know, I said Our Lord is prayer, which I said like over and over throughout the day. I was doing nothing else besides sitting in that bathroom for 3 months. And at one time in that prayer, I just find myself wanting God and realizing that God is there, even if I thought he understands me that I hate and that he knows I have a good reason. Then I said to ask him I started to kind of be conflicted with that part in Our Lord's prayer that said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, mm-hmm. as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I was like, I'm lying. It was almost like clear right in my face, like, I'm not saying the truth. I started to take off that part of the prayer. Okay, I will say the truth then, but I have to take off that part, mm-hmm. because I can't mean it. And from that, and also realizing after that, you are changing the prayer of Jesus. It's not like a priest or a pastor or a layman who made it. It's Jesus himself. You can't try to do that. So when I realized that I don't have control over a few things, like changing this prayer and be feel okay with it, I remember just surrendering and coming to my knees and begging God, help me out. I don't know how to forgive. And I think that was a huge beginning in every way of any forgiving. Help me out. I don't know how to do it. I wish I can forgive. I wish I can feel good again. And when I was able to hand it to God, and I started to pray sincerely now that, you know what? I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to do it, but it is not me. I ask you to help me out if you can't make it. Mm-hmm. And it did come. It came through the time, like I said earlier, I was meditating when Christ was on the cross and he was dying. And when he said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. That part, there's a thing that happened to my heart when in one moment I just realized, grasped the meaning of that part. They don't get it. They don't get the consequences that will come to them, the consequences that will come to the whole country, to their children, to the whole family. And I got it. And when I got it, it's almost like you see something clear. I couldn't even understand how much I was so angry and why I was so angry. Because all of a sudden you realize that the killer is dealing with their own issue of hatred and anger, mm-hmm. completely remote from you. How do I get caught into hating him that much? It is almost like the fire he has is affecting me. And almost like I felt like I cut those liaison, the thing that was making, you know, a thread between us. And from the moment I was about to let go and wished that person can be better, can think better, can love, can regret what he's doing, I found myself like I'm loving him as a person. I'm wishing him good. I'm really wishing sincerely that he can find the truth in his heart, be a better person. And that freed my heart. It was the best thing that can ever make you feel free. Mm. I felt so free from anger. I forgave and I started to think about my life. I was still in the bathroom. I can see that I'm going to have a life. I'm going to find a job. I'm going to do this and that. Everything became possible. When before, my whole goal was, okay, I will do this. I will hurt them. I will never speak to them. That thing was holding me tight. Mm. And all of a sudden, I was like, okay, what do I do to make sure that my future is okay? Now I can trust God. For those who trust, all things are possible. Oh my God, all things are possible. Then I started to think through like so many things, and it was a joy. Mm. And I met somebody from the prison who killed my family, and I offered him forgiveness. Mm. Yeah, it didn't come like an effort. It was, you know, forgiveness have to come with an understanding.
Yeah.
And people have to know, when you forgive, it doesn't mean that you condone the wrong people are doing, you accept and you're okay with what they are doing to hurt people. You don't have to make yourself a victim to be in the eyes of somebody who is killing you, because most of the time we think that if we forgive, then we don't have a choice. We have to be friends. But somebody might be hurting you again, might be having the same evil where they're still killing you, looking for you. But forgiving belongs to you. And then there is apology that belongs to the person who have wronged. If that happens to them, which will be a gift to them, if it really comes from a place of truth, like, I really am sorry. If they can say sorry, that will be great. And if that meets the person who have forgiven, then they can reconcile and be okay. But forgiveness, I truly believe that anyone who have been wronged, we have the power to be okay, as long as we can understand the weakness of the other person in being in a place of hurting, in a place of making and doing what is not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing how the example of Christ inspired you, mm-hmm. certainly inspires others, given your situation. In chapel this morning, the students and faculty and community members gave you a standing ovation before you even started, and then another standing ovation after you were done. Mm-hmm. And you have a New York Times bestseller, so your message is getting out there. Your message is inspiring and challenging. What are the next steps for you in getting this message out?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it has been a grace of God. I just make myself available and try to think, what can I do? I realize that I love writing. I keep writing. I have another book coming out end of November called Our Lady of Kibeho, something beautiful. I have another one coming out next year. So I keep writing to make this happen. And recently, I've been privileged to meet the people who offered to make a movie of my story, which I'm hoping that will even reach more people. And like I was sharing this morning, I prayed to meet the people who have made The Passion of Christ, Mel Gibson, Steve McVeigh, to see if they can help me to take this story and make it authentic, where there's no shy of telling the faith part. because I truly was saved by God. I couldn't be the person who knew how to hide better than anybody who died. And all the things that came back together to save me, I truly think that it was for this message, to have me this message to share with the world. So Steve McVeary and his company are going to make my movie. I am asking the world, anyone, to pray for us so that it will be a movie that will touch people, will inspire people to let go what hurts them, will inspire people to know that no matter how bad it can be, no matter what hurts you, just know that don't lose hope. Pick up and move on. There's always something great ahead of you. Don't lose hope and don't give up.
Making a film is a great next step. You've seen recently that films are increasingly meaningful and also affecting people's lives, The Passion of the Christ. Even movies like Crash and Hotel Rwanda and others are making points. What do you hope this movie will say to those who watch it, and what do you hope that they will take away from it?
You know, I'm hoping that the people will learn from, you know, I feel bad when I see families crashing many times. You know, I feel bad when I feel like there's not too much connection among families. So I'm hoping that my family will be an inspiration. You know, they were too perfect. They were so good. But again, good things like that, sometimes I know they're to last forever. And it is really after they were dead and I started to meet different people, I just realized that, oh my God, they were loving people. The people were so close. Every night in my family, we sat together for 3-4 hours. We were talking about what happened during the day. And sometimes people tell me, like, yeah, you miss your brothers because you love them. I'm like, anyone doesn't love their brother? You know, so we would love each other as a family. We protected each other as a family, an extended family. We pray together. So I'm hoping that will come through the movie. I'm hoping that through my experience, there will come God alive. I hope people will be able to find that friendship between them and God, where they are sincere to Him, where you are able to tell God Almighty, and with all the respect, that I am angry. I don't know what to do. I hate that person. God, I don't think God likes us to fake truth, you know, to not be true. He wants us to act from our hearts. You know, in a genocide, some priest killed who were holding the body of Christ and saying, love each other. Some pastors from every religion, Protestant, Adventist, from Catholics, they killed. But all the people from their religion, also every religion, they saved people. That is really where also you see that a relationship with God, a personal relationship. He loves us individually. He doesn't necessarily love us just as a religion. He loves us more individually. So I wish people can find that truth between them and God, where you just ask Him about how is heaven? What is there? Those are the things I used to do when I was in the bathroom. I took a pen and I started to draw what eternity looks like. As a student, if I see it in picture, then I can understand. Then I drew like 100 years, suppose I live 100 years, and then eternity. You can't finish drawing eternity, but 100 years compared to eternity becomes like a dot on the map, which really also made things in perspective, you know, made me put things in perspective. Like, what is this life we're all crazy about? What is really do I deserve to hate another person? What can I do to secure that part that is eternal more than this part that is just a dot? You know, all those things just made me realize that there's so much ahead of us. There's so much we don't get. I wish people can understand how much God loves us. Mm. I think we all die with love. And I truly feel that many bad things happen here in the world among people who hurt other people because it is so hard for them to believe that there is God who cares about you. There's God who loves you so much. And He's the only one really you need His love more than anything. You all three father might not love you. God loves you more. And He's the one who loves you, who really you can talk to when you're hiding, when you're in the bathroom, when you are at school, when you're working. God is still talking to you in your heart. And your parents are not there. Your friends are not there. So I hope that will come out. I hope forgiveness will come out to inspire the people. I hope hope will come out where people are driven to just dream. It will be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a Rwandan genocide survivor, your testimony is truly a powerful example for what it means to follow Christ. And we've been really blessed to have you here in Malibu, California today at Pepperdine University. speaking in chapel and joining us, and we wish you the best of luck with the rest of your work.
Thank you so much. And by the way, you have such a beautiful university.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.